National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast. What you already know is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by your homeboy, your mother's boyfriend, Joseph Ward, straight out of Tallahassee, Florida, getting it in your mind from here on. And I got a special announcement. Fix Sports Podcast will now be coming at you two times a week on Mondays and Fridays. Right here on the Freedom Train Network. So make sure you visit www.freedomtrainradio.com to tune into the Fix Sports Podcast twice a week, Mondays and Fridays. Also catch it on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher every Monday and every Friday from now on. Twice a week. You know what I'm saying? So we gotta make sure we get y'all where we get y'all, man. Get your fix twice a week. Bam. Just want to make sure I go ahead and tell you that. I'm gonna make sure I remind you throughout the show. And get your fix twice a week. Hey, remember, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, where you can get African history at your fingertips and on the go. To learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants, make sure you visit the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. To learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, visit www.ontheshoulders.org. And remember, you can get your African history through On the Shoulders of Giants through the African History book series, the blog series, the African History Curriculum app, which is free right now in the Google Play Store for Android users. The On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel. Remember, the On the Shoulders of Giants podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network, which drops every Saturday. The nonprofit organization, as well as the speaking engagements, keynote speakers, lectures, school, whatever. So remember, get down with On the Shoulders of Giants. Learn your African history. Know yourself. Man, know thyself. www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org. Bam. Hey, going down to the south. Here is what we're going to be talking about this week. So my HBCU spotlight is shined at BCU for winning the 2018 Minority College Golf Championship. Florida State Seminoles women's softball team has won the 2018 Women's College World Series, so we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the NBA. NBA Finals, they over. Last time I talked to you was game one. Now they over. The NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs are over. OV finally got a ring. Colin Kaepernick is subpoenaing Donald Trump and the rest of the Donald Trump fuck boys about what happened with him being blackballed by the NFL. My off-topic shit, Donald Trump versus the NFL and Kim Kardashian pardons. So tell you what Donald Trump is talking about with the NFL players and getting people pardoned, and what Kim Kardashian did with Donald Trump to get somebody pardoned. Terrell Owens said, fuck that shit. He's not going to attend the NFL Hall of Fame ceremony, so we're going to talk about that. He was the general manager for the Philadelphia 76ers, Brian Colangelo. He was fired because his wife did some bullshit, and he threw up under the bus for doing the bullshit. So we're going to talk about that. Weekly Rant is aimed at Donald Trump for disinviting the Philadelphia Eagles and a fuckboy reporter, not the Bill Simmons that do ESPN, but a fuckboy reporter, Bill Simmons, from across the way, who asked Serena Williams some bullshit. So we're going to get in his ass and Donald Trump's ass tonight. All right, so let's get into our HBCU spotlight. So, as I said earlier, our HBCU spotlight is aimed at Bethune-Cookman University. And the headline reads, Bethune-Cookman sweeps PGA Minority College. Bethune-Cookman sweeps PGA Minority Collegiate Championships, excuse me. Bethune-Cookman sweeps the men's Division I and women's team competitions at the 30th PGA Minority Collegiate Golf Championship, contested at the PGA Golf Club of Port St. Lucie, Florida, but not without the Wildcat men requiring an extra hole of work. Although not mathematically impossible, a playoff in college golf is at least mathematically improbable after 3 days of 216 holes. Bethune-Cookman and Tennessee State University were implausibly tied, having each taken 907 shots. Fittingly, both programs reported to the first hole in the Wanamaker course, where everything started on Friday morning. Two groups and 25 minutes later, Bethune-Cookman emerged as men's Division I champions, having required only 20 shots to Tennessee State's 21 on the 487-yard par negative 5 opening hole. Playoffs in collegiate team golf are pretty rare, according to Bethune-Cookman head coach Lawrence Scooter Clark. Truthfully, at the end, I was just hoping for a playoff. I wanted an opportunity to see if we could continue it and pull it out. We were able to do just that. What was fun was on the first green during the playoffs, seeing a different level of focus and determination from all of our kids. They earned this. Tennessee State played very well and pushed us. Tennessee State's bid was led by freshman Drew Owens, who was the Division I's men's medalist at 221. At 8-9-7, Bethune-Cookman's women's again asserted their dominance in the women's team division, claiming their record 5th consecutive title in the PGA Minority Collegiate Championship. Will I be damned? The victory was also the Wildcats' 13th in the 19th year history of the women's division. God damn. A freshman, Shamisho Hatchett, set the tone for the Bethune-Cookman's 30-stroke victory over runner-up Chicago State University at 9-27. Hatchett's 3-day total of 222 made her the women's team division medalist and earned an assist. An exemption into the upcoming Smyrna Tour event. Symetra Tour event. She would choose from either Island Resort Championship in Harris, Michigan, or the Tullymore Classic in Canadian Lakes, Michigan. And, yeah, so those are in June and July. Shamisho is so mild-mannered, and she has a poker face, said Clark of Hatchett, who hails from Milton Keynes, England. This is actually fitting because she recently received the most improved student athlete award on the women's team. She's been working very hard, probably harder in the classroom than on the golf course. Hatchett edged out Tiana Jones of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, although Jones's 3-day total of 223 made her the women's individual invitation championship. Rachel Orme at 241 of Savannah State was the runner-up. The men's Division II Cal State University, Dominguez Hills, took home a team title for the second time in as many years. Cal State Dominguez Hills won by a whopping 17 shots over runner-up Texas A&M International after residing in second place after both of the first and second rounds. So they got it in, man. They got it in. Bethune-Cookman, men's and women's, came in, shut it down at the PGA Minority Collegiate titles, and the women, wow, the women have been, like, assassinating people. 13 and 19 years in their 5th consecutive title. The damn sure certain they dominance. They're dominant. I'm over here acting like I can't talk this goddamn morning. They asserted their dominance. So shout out to the Bethune-Cookman College. I mean, I'm old school. You tell my family. To the Bethune-Cookman University Minority Collegiate Title-Winning Men and Women's Golf Teams and the women for dominating just the minority collegiate golf tournament forever. So, little man in the shirt, everybody get up off your feet, show some love to Bethune-Cookman University men's and women's golf team for winning the minority collegiate championship. Wow, damn. What's up, BCC? That's what's up, man. 13 and 19, 5 in a row. One time for BCU, man. Bethune-Cookman. One time for Bethune-Cookman. Blow! Out there getting it. Start, start. Out there getting it. So, yeah, man. These teams be dominating, and we don't even be knowing because people don't talk about HBCU sports like that. So that's why I talk about it. All right? So let's move on. Florida State University women's softball team have captured their first Women's College World Series title. I'm going to say it again. Florida State women's softball team has captured their first Women's College World Series title. The headlines read, champions. Florida State blows out Washington to win their first Women's College World Series title. Shoot. And that, hey, the cardiac kids, what they call them. They're calling these ladies the cardiac kids. And shout out to the freshman, the redshirt freshman, Mason, and she balled out. And let me explain. The cardiac kids have made Florida State history. After so many close calls, they did it in a way that caused minimal cardiac issues for Florida State fans. With its runaway 8-3 win over fifth seed Washington Tuesday night, the number 6 FSU softball team, whose overall record was 58-12, completed a sweep of the Huskies to bring home the program's first NCAA championship and its first appearance in the Women's College World Series final. Through its first 9 NCAA tournament games, including Monday's 1-0 FSU win, University of Washington had allowed 8 total runs. With a crowd of 8,123 watching at USA Softball Hall of Fame Stadium, FSU matched that over the first 4 innings of Tuesday's win. Seminoles quickly turned an early deficit into a lead behind an explosive attack at the plate, hitting 3 homers and 5 extra base hits. Entering this year, FSU's 9 Women's College World Series appearances were the most by any team without a national championship. The 10th time proved to be the charm. Seminoles won each of their final 6 games and the final 5 of which came against top 5 teams from the Pac-12. Not only is it the Seminoles' first title, it's the first NCAA softball championship team for any team from the Atlantic Coast Conference. So they look at them, setting precedent. The softball team brings FSU's eighth NCAA team title across all sports, its first since 2014, and the women's soccer team won in 2014. The Seminoles are the 15th and the 4th sport to win an NCAA team championship in program history, joining football, who has a title 93-99 2013, men's track and field 26-27, 2006-2007-2008, women's track and field 84-85, and women's soccer in 2014, as I said. So, much speculation was made after FSU's 1-0 win in the Women's College World Series final on how this team that has thrived in must-win situations could perform in a non-elimination game. FSU's 6 wins in the elimination game in this year's NCAA tournament tied the record for the most in a single year. Tuesday's game against UW, and that's University of Washington, was FSU's 2nd in the last 9 games where the Seminoles were not facing elimination. The idea shifted quickly when the Huskies opened up a 3-0 lead in the first inning. Back in familiar territory, the Seminoles wasted little time doing what they do and overcoming adversity. FSU cut the deficit to 3-2 after 1 inning on postseason Anna Schultz's second home run in as many days in the 5th of the postseason. The next inning, the Seminoles stacked themselves to a 5-3 lead on right fielder Elizabeth Mason's 2-run single to the right, followed by RBI single to the left by Jesse Warren. FSU added three more back-to-back homers from Elizabeth Mason and Jesse Warren to make it 8-3 through four innings, and it was a rout. Woo! Yeah, so one time for Mason, one time for Warren, one time for Shelnut, all the women on the Florida State University women's softball team, one time for the University of Washington, all the women who made the tournament. But, you know, we like to shine the light on these champions. So, Florida State, shine your light on the world. Shine your light so the world can see. Florida State, shine your light on the world. Put your hands together for the Florida State Seminoles, man, to bring home that Women's College World Series Championship. The 2018, dog. So I want to make sure I show the ladies of Florida State some love for bringing home that championship. All right, man, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's go ahead and get into it because I know y'all been waiting on me, waiting to hear from me ever since the NBA Finals is over. Yes, I said the Cavs are going to win in seven. Yes, I said that. But I also said I'm picking with my heart and not my head. I did say that. Go back and run the tape. I did say that. Now, was I wrong? Well, goddamn, I was wrong. I wasn't expecting to be this wrong, but I was wrong. And I was wrong to the fact of Cavs got their ass swept. And LeBron James and the Cavs quit by mid-third quarter in game four. By mid-third quarter in game four, the Cavs quit. Now, last time we talked, it was game one. So game two came down. No, game one was a competitive game between the Cavs and the Warriors. It was a very competitive game. The Cavs lost in overtime, 10-point lead in overtime. We know going into overtime, George Hill. Well, first the charging call, the blocking call that they called on Kevin Durant was reversed to a charging call on LeBron James. Then George Hill missed the free throw to put the Cavs up by one with 4 seconds left. And as he missed the free throw, J.R. Smith grabbed the rebound and ran around for 3.5 seconds, running that much time off the clock with only 1 second left on the clock, threw the ball to George Hill in the corner. George Hill missed the three-point shot, and then the game went to overtime, and the Warriors won by 10 points. So game two, the thing was, how will the Cavs respond? Mentally, how would the Cavs respond? Well, the outcome was a 122-103 victory for the Golden State Warriors. All right, this is how the scoring summary went quarter by quarter. First quarter, game two, first quarter, Cavs were outscored 32-28. Second quarter, the Cavs were outscored 27-18. Third quarter, the Cavs outscored the Warriors 34-31. Then, the Cavs were outscored in the fourth quarter 32-23. And the Cavs just, it basically showed that the Cavs don't have the overall talent to play with the Warriors, but the Cavs can play with them if they play right. And that you got to bring the fight to them. That really didn't happen. But, I mean, I don't know. That game, Kevin Durant had 26 points. Draymond had 5, JaVale McGee had 12. Yeah, basically, so check this out, this game, right? Steph Curry went off. KD was efficient as shit, right? KD went 10 for 14, 71%, right? JaVale McGee went 6 for 6 for 12 points. Sean Livingston went 5 for 5 for 10 points. On top of Steph Curry's 33, on top of Klay Thompson's 20. And Draymond gave you 5 points, 6 rebounds. I mean, yeah, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. So Draymond didn't have his best game, but his impact was felt otherwise. But Durant gave you 26, Klay gave you 20, Steph gave you 33, with JaVale McGee going 6 for 6 with 12 points, and Sean Livingston going 10 for 10 with 5 points. Can't win like that, right? And going on Cleveland side, LeBron had 29. Kevin Love had 22. Tristan Thompson had 11. J.R. Smith had 5. George Hill had 15. Jeff Green had 6. See, the thing is, Jeff Green not really being consistent. Tristan Thompson then, J.R. Smith not showing up. George Hill, he gave you 15 points this game. If he would have gave us 10 points the last game, you know, the Cavs would have won. But the Cavs couldn't stop the onslaught that the Warriors brought in game two. It just wasn't there. So the Warriors go up 2-0 in the series. So at this point, we're like, all right, well, it's going back to Cleveland. Maybe Cleveland will be able to get game three. I was hoping Cleveland could be able to get game three and be able to extend the series to at least 5 games. But game three was a 110-102 victory for the Golden State Warriors. This was a more competitive game. The Cavs were actually more competitive this game than in the past. First quarter, the Cavs outscored the Warriors 29-28. Second quarter, the Cavs outscored the Warriors 29-24. Third quarter, the Warriors outscored the Cavs 31-23. And the fourth quarter, the Warriors outscored the Cavs 27-21. This game was a better game by the Warriors. By the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was a better game. They played a better brand of basketball. But this is also the game where Kevin Durant scored 43 points. He was 15 for 23, 65%. 6 for 9 for 3-point, 66%. Right? He had 13 rebounds and 7 assists with 43 points. Draymond Green had 10 points. JaVale McGee had 10 points. Klay Thompson had 10 points. Steph Curry had 11 points. Steph Curry went 3 for 16, 18%. He had a horrible game. Andre Iguodala had 8 points. He went 3 for 4. Sean Livingston had 8 points. So the Warriors didn't have their greatest game as a team. Kevin Durant had a great game. And it was enough to elevate the Cavs the Warriors past the Cavs. LeBron had LeBron went 33-11-10 in this game. 11 assists, 10 rebounds, 33 points. Kevin Love went 20 points and 8 rebounds. Jared Smith had 13 points, surprisingly. Rodney Hood had 15 points. So this is the first game that Rodney Hood was inserted back into the lineup after not playing since the Toronto series, since he refused to go in the game in Toronto series. So Rodney Hood came in and gave 15 points off the bench. Jeff Green is a big disappointment, though. Jeff Green didn't ball out this series at all. Larry Nance is out there playing hard, but he wasn't, you know. He's out there playing. I give Larry Nance his due. He was playing hard, especially game four when nobody else decided to play, including LeBron James. So game three was the Cavs' chance to get a victory, and they just couldn't do it. Kevin Durant was just too lethal in game three. It just didn't happen. Game four, it was over by the third quarter. 108-85 is the final score, which elevated the Warriors to back-to-back NBA champions and Kevin Durant back-to-back NBA Finals MVP. Right? So let's give a round of applause to the Golden State Warriors for winning the 2018 NBA championship. What time for Kevin Durant? Time for Klay, Steph, Draymond. They deserve it. They came out and they played ball. They whooped ass. They played ball. They deserve it. So one time for them. Right? All right, so game four, quarter number one, Warriors outscored the Cavs 34-25. Quarter two, it was a 27-27. The Cavs wasn't really down much going into halftime. Cavs were actually in the game going into halftime, right? But I mean, they said fuck it. Like, it was a 13-point third quarter. LeBron was so passive. LeBron passed the ball so many times, it's ridiculous. Like, LeBron did not go out like a real G. LeBron didn't go out like he was the best player. LeBron didn't go out like he was the GOAT. And you got to, hey, man, I'm a truth teller. I'm going to defend right when it's right, but I can't defend wrong. And LeBron, you ain't go out like no G. And we got to call you out for that, man. We got to call you out for not going out like a G, LeBron. You're supposed to take at least 50 shots this game. Like, you're supposed to go out fighting. Like, Rodney Hood was out there playing. Larry Nance was out there playing. But you wasn't. Like, when LeBron quit, the team quit. LeBron had 23 points. LeBron had a total of 13 field goals. Rodney Hood had took the most shots with 14. LeBron took 13. Kevin Love took 13. Rodney Hood took 14. LeBron had 23 points, 53% shooting. He was 0 for 1 for 3 points. He had 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 23 points, which is garbage, man. Like, every time you looked up, LeBron would just pass and 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 just pass. LeBron, at one point, LeBron was passing. He would pass the ball, find a corner or find a spot on the floor and just stand there and just look. Then every now and then, every two, three plays, every four plays, he'll try to shoot to the basket and try to get something or try to create another pass. And it was hard to watch a player that great, the best player, heads and shoulders, the best player on the planet, go out like that. LeBron checked out mentally. LeBron said, fuck it. And game four was over in the third quarter. The Cleveland Cavaliers gave up in this game. They quit. There's nothing more, nothing less to say. The Cleveland Cavaliers quit. Now the question is LeBron James going to stay in Cleveland? I say fuck no. LeBron James needs to get the hell out of Cleveland. Go to Houston, man. Houston, Boston, Philly. But I think, to me, if you want to challenge Golden State, even San Antonio could be on there if Kawhi come back. But all in all, the argument of who's a – okay, the Jordan argument, especially with this finals, the Jordan argument. LeBron James is not a better winner than Jordan. LeBron James is not a better scorer than Jordan. LeBron James doesn't have the will Jordan. LeBron James is not a killer like Jordan is. LeBron James is a better all-around basketball player than Michael Jordan. LeBron James is not the killer Michael Jordan is. We see that. So the argument, to me, like I've always said, the argument of who's a better player out of LeBron James or Michael Jordan is not a good argument because they're two vastly different types of players. But LeBron James has always been about overall game. Michael Jordan has been about killing you. Michael Jordan is a scorer who's about killing you and snatching your heart out. LeBron James is. They both are on my all-time starting five. I don't like the comparison. I think LeBron James compares better. If we talk about player comparison, more so to Scottie Pippen, Magic Johnson. I've said this before. Michael Jordan is not a great argument, but if you just want to argument, say who's the better player. LeBron James has better all-around game than Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan is a killer that'll snatch your goddamn heart out. Right? If it's one game for my life and I got to pick, my first pick going to be MJ. And my second pick going to be Kobe. Because I know both of them would die before they lose. I'm not going to pick LeBron for one game for my life. Now, I do not think Michael Jordan could beat LeBron James in a one-on-one. I don't. I just don't. I really don't. And you can come on and argue with me. You can get with me, at me on Twitter, at JoeWar84. We can talk about it. You can come on, you can comment on this. Please comment and let me know. YouTube, comment, leave the comments, let me know. I don't think Jordan could beat LeBron James in a one-on-one game. And, you know, man, it just is what it is, man. Like, LeBron James is the greatest player we've ever seen this generation. He's the best. He's the greatest player of the past 15 years. This is overall just what he's done. He's in year 15 and still head and shoulders the best player in the game. So, Brian, go ahead and go to Houston so y'all can challenge Golden State. I mean, yeah, it's over, man. One time for the Golden State Warriors. One time for Kevin Durant, back-to-back NBA Finals champion, MVP. Even though I thought Steph was going to get it because Kevin Durant was doing everything. Kevin Durant was doing everything in his power to get Steph the MVP. So let me give you these stats real quick. Kevin Durant, in his quest to get Steph the MVP, he fucked around and got tripled up. Right? Freaking niggas every day like MJ. I got to say, KD had a good day. Right? At 20 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. Draymond had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists. This wasn't Draymond's game. JaVale McGee had 6 points. Klay Thompson had 10. Steph had 37. Iguodala had 11. You know, Jordan Bell had 4. Nick Young had 3. Livingston had 2. David West had 2. So this was more KD, Steph type of game. But like I say, the Cavs gave up in the third quarter. So it wasn't like the Warriors had to give maximum effort. The final score was 105-108-85. So one time for the Warriors. Let's get ready for next season. LeBron, hey, man, you got to stop that shit. You got to stop that quitting shit, man. Fuck that, dog. You're a Capricorn. Capricorns don't do that shit. Fuck that, dog. You got to go out like a motherfucking Jeep. You got to die trying. If you ain't going to die trying, goddamn it, don't show up. All right, so that's the NBA Finals. The NHL Finals. It's over, and the Washington Capitals have finally won that motherfucking Stanley Cup, and Alex Ovechkin finally has his ring and is a Stanley Cup champion. One time for Ovi. One time for Ovi. Like, I mean, man, look at here. It was a great game. Like, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Devontae Smith-Pelly tied the game at 3 in the third period. So, game four, the Washington Capitals beat the Las Vegas Knights 6-2. Because the last time we talked, the Caps were up 2-1, and it was game 3. So we're talking about game 4. And I actually watched game 4 and game 5. And Washington was the home team in game 4, and they dominated Vegas, physically dominated Vegas, which allowed them to get that 6-2 victory. They beat the shit out of Vegas on the board. They were just more aggressive, more dominant. They came out to play. The Caps came out to play. Ovi was on his. Smith-Pelly was on his. All the rest of the boys was on theirs. All the missing teeth. You know, they was on it. And the Washington Capitals looked like they wanted the Stanley Cup. They out there on that ice looking like they wanted it. Every line that they put out there was just like on it. They was physically dominant. They physically dominated the Las Vegas Knights in game 4, and I feel that's what helped them get that 6-2 victory. Fleury just couldn't stop them shits, man. Fleury couldn't stop the Caps in that goaltending spot. He just couldn't stop them. They was on it. So that was game 4. Game 5, the deciding game, the game which won the Caps, the Vegas Knights came out playing a better game. So it was like 2-2 going into the third period. And then Vegas got a goal in the third period. And we're like, oh, shit, because I was talking to my homeboy Sam on the phone, and Sam was like, man, Vegas at home, man, so Vegas might get that luck and get that victory, because Sam was expecting Vegas to get that victory. I was like, I'm listening, but I was like, but my exact quote into the group chat was like, yeah, I hear you when you're saying that Vegas could get this because it's hockey and you got luck and all these things here. But if the Caps come out, oh, here you go. I said, it was Thursday at 2:24 p.m. I said, if the Caps play like they played the last game, it's over. Because he was like, he thinks Vegas Knights going to win this at home. Caps finished them in game 6. I was like, man, if the Caps play like they played the last game, it's over. And he was like, hockey is weird. It's the most luck-based team sport. Vegas luck just running low. And then, you know, but goes into it. It was more along what I said. So Vegas had, in the third period, Vegas got that 3-2 lead. So Devontae Smith-Pelly, and a black dude named Devontae is a hockey champion. A black dude named Devontae is a hockey champion. So Devontae Smith-Pelly, he had the game tying shot. I think it was a slap shot by Ovi or somebody in the pass, and it got to Smith-Pelly, and he was not too far from the goaltender, and he was falling at the same time, and he was able to get the shot off and score the goal as he was falling. Bam, tied the score. So the score is 3-3 now. So we're like, oh, man, what we going to do? And then next thing you know, the other white dude came back, bam, get the shot, get him the 4-3 lead with like 3 minutes left in the game. And from then, they just had to whoop their ass, and they did. And it was over. And the Washington Capitals have their first NHL championship. My homeboy Chimo up there in Washington, he put up a picture in the group chat of all these folk in the middle of wherever this place is in this building, getting it in, and they got a big-ass picture of Benjamin Franklin in the background looking like he's trying to – Benjamin Franklin looked like a sexual predator back there. I swear, just the way the picture looked. Because I got all these girls, but man, hey, one time for the Washington Capitals, one time for Alexander Ovechkin. I'm so happy that Ovi got him one, man. I'm so happy that Ovi got him one. Ovi went so long in this league without getting the championship, been such a great player. Him and Sidney Crosby basically been the faces of the league, been putting the league on their back. He finally got one, 3 MVPs, all these other championships. He finally got the NHL championship. So one time for the Washington Capitals. And as you know, we got to show them some love. So, man, in your shirt, my artists, get up off your feet. Show the Washington Capitals some love. All right. So, further sports news, Colin Kaepernick is expected to subpoena Donald Trump and Mike Pence, right? So let me read this to you. The next move in Colin Kaepernick's collusion case against the NFL could involve subpoenas against Donald Trump, President Donald Bitch-Ass Trump, and Vice President Footboy Mike Pence, according to a report. Kaepernick and his legal team are expected to seek a federal subpoena to get testimony from Trump, Pence, and other officials, Yahoo Sports reported Thursday. The goal, according to the report, is to find out via the Federal Arbitration Act what Trump, Pence, and those officials said in direct discussions with NFL owners about Kaepernick's free agency and NFL players' protest during the national anthem. Kaepernick became the first player to sit and later kneel during the anthem as a way of protesting police brutality and racial injustice against black people. And I added the against black people part because they did. He has not played for an NFL team since opting out of his contract with the San Francisco 49ers in March of 2017 and is suing the league claiming the owners colluded by not signing him to a contract. While testifying as part of the collusion case, several NFL owners said in the deposition that Trump factored into conversations about how to handle protests during the national anthem, the Wall Street Journal reported on May 30th. In his testimony, Dallas Cowboys owner Fuckboy Jerry Jones said Trump spoke with him about the anthem. This is very winning. They can't talk. So this is very winning, strong issue for me. I swear, this is how it's written. This is the quote. This is how it was quoted. This is very winning. Strong issue for me, Jones said, Trump told him during the phone call. Tell everybody you can't win this one. This one lifts me. I don't know what the hell. Okay. The Journal also reported that Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross testified that New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft had also discussed the anthem with Trump. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said Kraft, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Kraft are also among the people who have been deposed in the case. While at an Alabama rally in September, Trump blasted NFL players who knelt during the anthem. He said ownership pulled players who kneeled from games and referred to a player who protested during the anthem as a son of a bitch. And Trump, your mama is a son of a bitch. So that means your grandmama a bitch. NFL owners approved a new policy at the league meetings earlier this month that requires all NFL players and team personnel on the field to stand during the anthem. They have the option to remain in the locker room for the anthem if they choose to. I would go on the field and probably try to pull my meat out. If the players or personnel on the field did not stand, the league could subject teams to a fine. Teams also would have the option to fine any team personnel, including players, for the infraction of not standing for the anthem, even though fuck the anthem. The national anthem don't mean the same thing for anybody. But get their ass, Cap. Get their ass. Fuck you, Donald Trump. Fuck you, Mike Pence, the rest of y'all. Get their ass, Cap. Sue the shit out their ass. Get that money, because they fucking you over. Get their ass. Get they ass, Colin Kaepernick. Get they ass. Get they ass, Colin Kaepernick. Get they ass. Get they ass. Get they motherfucking ass. Yeah. So just giving you some basic information on that. Of course, you know I will keep you up to date. And just to update, remember the Fit Sports Podcast will come to you every Monday and every Friday right here on the Freedom Train Network. So I have more information for you about that on Friday. Look, any movement, anything that happened, I'll tell you on Friday. Of course, you know, I introduced a new segment last week called Off Topic Shit. And my Off Topic Shit topic today, as I told you earlier, will be about the Trump commuting the sentence of a grandmother, Alice Marie Johnson, and how Kim Kardashian kind of helped with that. And then also how Trump is telling NFL players that, you know, if y'all motherfuckers, basically Trump saying he tired of NFL players kneeling for the anthem because it's some bullshit in his eyes. And, like, if it's things that he wants people to do, because right now he's on a subpoena spree, so if it's some people that they want subpoenaed, then let's subpoena them. Pardon. If he wants some people pardoned, who do they want him to pardon? Pardon Mumia. I bet you Trump won't pardon Mumia. I tell you that. Trump will not pardon the political prisoners who didn't do anything, the Black Panthers who are still wrongfully in prison. I guarantee you that Trump would not, if I'm one of the players, I would go say Mumia Abdul-Jabbar and other political prisoners who are wrongfully in prison for standing up against the U.S. government. But before I get into that, let me get to this. Trump commutes sentence of grandmother serving life on drug charges after Kim Kardashian meeting. So President Donald Trump commuted the life sentence of Alice Marie Johnson on Wednesday, just days after reality star Kim Kardashian West lobbied the president in an Oval Office meeting to intervene on behalf of Johnson, who was serving a life sentence on drug charges. Johnson, 63, had been in federal prison for more than 21 years after being found guilty of connection to drug trafficking conspiracy, and she would have died behind bars without the president's clemency. She's one of thousands of Americans serving life sentences for nonviolent offenses, according to a 2013 report by the American Civil Liberties Union, the vast majority of whom are there on drug crimes. Ms. Johnson has accepted responsibility for her past behavior and has been a model prisoner over the past two decades, the White House said in a statement. While this administration will always be very tough on crime, it believes that those who have paid their debt to society and worked hard to better themselves while in prison have deserved a second chance. Now, one thing Trump did say is, I gave this woman, I freed this woman, I touched issues that Obama wouldn't touch. I pardoned Alice Marie Johnson. I gave her clemency. Obama didn't. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, we already talked, me, my homeboy Patrick, and Carl Tone Jones, we already talked about how the next president who came in with the white person was going to throw what they do, they was going to do stuff for black people that Obama wouldn't touch, then throw that in black people's face, say, hey, well, shit, y'all all on this Obama shit, but shit, I'm doing this for black folk, and Obama wouldn't even touch it. And we already knew that. We already knew that was going to happen. But once again, Trump is going subpoena. Trump is going pardon crazy. So Trump is now telling players, hey, man, basically saying, shut up. Tell me what you want me to do so I can do it. So y'all can shut up and stop disrespecting the flag. That's what he's saying. Even though we know the players aren't disrespecting the flag, because, like, you have to have respect for the flag to disrespect the flag. And as you know, we don't have respect for the flag. The flag is a symbol of white supremacy and racism to us. The national anthem is a song about white supremacy and racism. So you can't tell me I have to respect something that you respect just because you respect it, because it upholds the ideas and everything of white supremacy, because white supremacy is uphold that white male patriarchy stuff, even though those are the ultimate down low boys. Yeah, I said it. Those white male patriarch, white supremacists are the ultimate down low boys, but that's what they're trying to protect, and those are the majority of the people who are the NFL fans. And so they're trying to make sure that they keep those fans, because all black people can stop watching football and the NFL won't care, as long as black people don't stop playing football. When black people stop playing football, hint, hint, message, when black people stop playing football, that's when the NFL gonna have an issue. But as long as the NFL don't give a damn about how many black people watch football, as long as black people continue to play football. So that's what's going on in this off-topic shit, is Alice Marie Johnson has been granted clemency. She's going to be getting out very soon. Kim Kardashian saw that. Now, the original headline behind that was Kim Kardashian is going in to Donald Trump talk about prison reform. That was a lie. Kim Kardashian was not going in to Donald Trump talk about prison reform. Kim Kardashian had a single solo mission of getting Alice Marie Johnson pardoned. And she was only focused on Johnson. She was not focused on prison reform as a whole. Donald Trump is not focused on prison reform as a whole. Donald Trump is not focused on issues, because I was listening to the radio the other day. I was listening to the Stephen A. Smith show, as a matter of fact, and Stephen A. and some other people were hinting at Donald Trump using these pardons to combat white supremacy. And I was like, nah, Donald Trump is not in the business of combating white supremacy. How could you say that when Donald Trump is using white supremacy as his platform? Donald Trump is white supremacy. Now, Donald Trump will fake and use other people so he can get certain things and get in certain graces and use certain things. I'm telling people, remember, black people play Uno at the chess table. We're not even playing checkers. Black people play Uno at the chess table, at the chessboard. So let that be known. Donald Trump is not in the business of fighting white supremacy. He ain't about fighting structural racism. Donald Trump is about the upholding and the maintenance of structural racism. These little nuggets he may throw every now and then, trust me, they're not enough to help break down the system of white supremacy and racism. So let's get over that shit. But I just want to drop that off on y'all. And of course, you know I'm going to keep you up on that since we got two shows a week now. But hey, that's my off-topic shit. That's my off-topic shit. Kim Kardashian was behind Alice Marie Johnson getting granted clemency and the sentence reduced, and she's going to be getting out real soon. She's not going to die in prison. All right, moving on. Like Maya. I'll be moving down. Really going down. T.O. dropping his nuts on people. So Terrell Owens has declined his invitation to attend the August 4th Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony in Canton, Ohio. T.O. said, fuck all that. I ain't going. This is his statement. I am so grateful for all the support my family, friends, and certainly my fans have shown me throughout my entire career in the National Football League. When it was announced that I was going to be included in the Hall of Fame, the response received from my fans was overwhelming. And I am truly humbled. I am honored to be included among this group of fellow individuals. While I am incredibly appreciative of this opportunity, I've made the decision to publicly decline my invitation to attend the induction ceremony in Canton. I've already shared this information with the Hall. After visiting Canton earlier this year, I came to the realization that I wish to celebrate what will be one of the most memorable days of my life elsewhere. At a later date, I will announce where and when I will celebrate my induction. I would also like to thank the San Francisco 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, the Buffalo Bills, and the Cincinnati Bengals for the time I was granted with each organization. I am thankful for the relationships forged and the lessons learned while a part of each team. I wish to congratulate all past, current, and future inductees. It is quite an honor to be a part of such elite company. This honor is something that will cherish, that I will cherish forever. T.O., stop beating around the bush, man. You like, fuck them. T.O. basically mad at them because he not first ballot Hall of Fame. Let's just be real. T.O. telling these boys to fuck y'all, I ain't coming because he wasn't first ballot, which he should have been first ballot. So T.O. is known for holding grudges. T.O. is petty. He's known for holding grudges. So that's what T.O. really is on this. They didn't bring him in on the first ballot. T.O. is mad. T.O. telling y'all, fuck y'all, I don't need y'all validation, even though I do need y'all validation. I don't need y'all validation, but thank you for the validation, because I do need the validation, but I don't need the validation, because I said I don't, but I really do. So that's what Owens is saying. Now, 15 seasons, 1,078 catches, 15,930 yards, 153 touchdowns, and 219 games played. Those are first ballot Hall of Fame numbers. T.O., just be straight up with them. Go ahead and tell them kiss your ass. Go ahead and tell them you don't like them because you wasn't first ballot. Go ahead and tell these, because this is the media, these journalists, and everybody that you've been having an issue with all your career. It's been a hate relationship with T.O. and journalists all his career, and it's still a hate relationship between T.O. and the journalist. And that's why he's telling y'all that he ain't going to kiss his ass. So let's stop with the beating around the bush. Let's stop acting like, hey, man, well, you know, I appreciate it, but I'm going to do elsewhere. He might as well should have said in an English accent, I appreciate the offer, but I am celebrating elsewhere with my family. Fuck you, Hall of Fame. You can kiss my ass. That's basically what T.O.'s saying. So, I don't know. I'm going to keep you up on this. Of course, people are going to be mad. People talking stuff. People talking shit. People saying T.O. was wrong for this. And you know me, I don't really care. All I say is be a G all the way. Don't be a halfway G. If you're going to be a G all the way about it. Go out like a G all the way, the whole way. Don't halfway it. Go all the way out like a G. If you're going to tell them to kiss your ass, tell them to kiss your ass the whole way. No halfway ass kissing, all the way ass kissing. So we know how you feel, T.O. You like, fuck them. So tell them to kiss your ass the whole way. Don't half ass. So T.O. will not be a part of the 2018 Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And it's a great class, too. So I'll keep you up on that. I'll keep you up on that. Now, basketball. Basketball, 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 basketball. And Twitter. Brian Colangelo's wife, Philadelphia 76ers, burned her Twitter accounts. Shit that was said that shouldn't be said, pillow talking and all. OG once told me, don't be pillow talking. If you ain't supposed to tell nobody, don't tell nobody. Right? So, 76ers accept resignation of executive Brian Colangelo following embarrassing Twitter scandal. The Philadelphia 76ers and president of the basketball operations, Brian Colangelo, have agreed to part ways over an embarrassing Twitter snafu, the team announced Thursday morning. So, in a statement released by the 76ers, team owner and managing partner John Harris said, it has become clear Bryant's relationship with our team and his ability to lead the 76ers moving forward has been compromised. Recognizing his detrimental impact this matter has had on the organization, Colangelo offered his resignation. Colangelo's departure comes at a critical time and opens up one of the most attractive jobs in the NBA. The Sixers have an abundance of young talent, salary cap space, and draft picks. Former Cleveland Cavaliers GM David Griffin is willing to jump back into the league for the right job. If interested, Griffin should be a serious candidate for the Sixers. Sixers coach Brett Brown will head the basketball operations department until the team hires a new general manager. The NBA draft is June 21st, not 11 days away, and free agency begins July 1st. The Sixers are expected to have a chance at signing LeBron James. Right? So the Sixers launched an investigation concluded by the law firm of Paul Weiss, Rinkfoot, Wharton, Garrison, Jenkins, Lamar, Latrice, Alexandria, and Shemaya. I just made up all that, but now the law firm is Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison, LLP. That's the real name of it. I just add all the mother names. But they investigated into Colangelo and Ms. Barbara Bottini. After the investigation, the Sixers ownership group remained split on how to proceed. The investigation concluded that Colangelo's wife, and not Colangelo, but was behind the Twitter account. So she created fake Twitter accounts and started talking shit about the team, exposing information, exposing shit about players, talking shit about players, just a lot of petty, dumbass, schoolgirl shit. The evidence supports the conclusion that Ms. Bottini, Mr. Colangelo's wife, established the Twitter accounts and posted content on these accounts, the law firm said. And a lot of the information that she was putting on there was information that only Sixers people or part of the Sixers organization should know. So Colangelo was pillow talking, and his wife was pillow tweeting. So we cannot include that Mr. Colangelo was aware of the Twitter accounts prior to the May 2nd press inquiry. We know, however, that our investigation was limited and impeded by certain actions taken by Ms. Bottini, including her decision to delete contents from her iPhone by executing a factory reset of the device prior to surrendering it for forensic review. Our investigation revealed substantial evidence that Mr. Colangelo was the source of sensitive, non-public, club-related information contained in certain posts of the Twitter accounts. We believe that Mr. Colangelo was careless, in some instances reckless, and failing to properly safeguard sensitive information. Yeah, because his wife put that pussy on him and got that information. In a statement released Thursday morning, Colangelo said, "I vigorously dispute that my conduct was in any way reckless." And this where other people getting on Colangelo for throwing his wife under the bus. Because his wife fucked up, but he threw up under the bus. Now, me personally, I'm going to let my wife ass have it, but not in public, though. But I'm going to let her have it, but not in public, right? Her actions were a seriously misguided effort to publicly defend and support me. And while I recognize how inappropriate these actions were, she acted independently and without my knowledge or consent. Further, the content she shared was filled with inaccuracies and conjecture, which in no way represent my own views or opinions. While this was obviously a mistake, we are a family and we will work through this together. And like males in the sports industry are piling on him for that statement. So they're saying he threw his wife under the bus. Hey, man, you know, it is what it is. Your wife fucked up. You went in public and you talked about it. You fucked up for giving information, for making information available, pillow talking and all that other stuff. So the 76ers are looking for a new general manager because Brian Colangelo had to be released from his contract and from the team because of he can't be trusted with information because apparently he's talking to his wife and his wife take the information and go public with it via burner Twitter accounts. So Bottini and Colangelo, both of y'all need fucking prayer. Something wrong with both of y'all. Bottini, yeah, you fucked your husband up. You cost your husband his job, and he threw your ass up under the bus in public. Bottini, what the fuck was you thinking? I don't know, man. But anyway,
Colangelo's out of a job. Bottini, I don't know if you're going to be out of a man. I don't know. But that's what happened in Philadelphia with the damn 76ers. So keep you up to date on that story. I definitely will keep you up to date on that story. But Colangelo don't have a job. And he's like, God damn, dog. Barbara, so you know she's an older lady. Barbara fucked me up, dog. Damn, dog. Barbara, dog. Barbara! Why you did that to me, dog? Why you did that to me, Barbara? Barbara! Yeah. All right. I just felt like doing that. But it's time now for my weekly rant. And as I told you, this week's weekly rant is aimed at two people, Donald Trump and Bill Simmons. So Donald Trump thought he was doing something. If the Philadelphia Eagles don't want to come visit the White House, I don't want them to come visit the White House. Because the Eagles don't want to fuck with Trump, and Trump's saying, fuck y'all. So it's like a public fuck you between both people. So President Donald Trump has disinvited the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles from their planned visit Tuesday to the White House. The invitation was canceled over what Trump says is a disagreement on standing during the national anthem. And that's how bitch-ass Trump is, man. Fuck the national anthem. Oh, yeah, Malcolm Jenkins, we still see you playing both sides. Can't take hush money and still try to act like you for the people, Malcolm Jenkins. We see you. In response, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney said Mr. Trump's decision only proves that our president is not a true patriot, but a fragile, egomaniac, bitch-ass fuckboy who needs his ass whooped. Well, his statement stopped that egomaniac, but I said bitch-ass fuckboy needs his ass whooped. Mr. Trump issued a statement Monday evening saying the full NFL team would not be coming after several players indicated that they would not participate. They disagree with their president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart, and honor the great men and women who are military and the people of our country. So even though we know Trump disrespect everything when he gets a chance, fuck you, Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump, Captain Shortstop. The Eagles posted a statement in response saying that they are grateful for all of the support we receive. We are looking forward to continuing our preparations for the 2018 season. Soon after, Mr. Trump took to Twitter, reiterating that only a small number of players decided to come, and we canceled the event and added, staying in the locker room for the playing of the national anthem is as disrespectful to our country as needed. Hey, and NFL did kind of set themselves up. NFL set themselves up because, Donald Trump being a bitch ass is like, first of all, he mad at the Eagles for not wanting to come. And then the NFL set themselves up because the NFL thought that they would be quieting some of these racist crackers like Donald Trump for this new NFL policy of forcing the players to either, if you're on the field, you stand. And if you're not on the field, and if you're not going to stand, then you stay in the locker room. And so Trump took the first opportunity he could when that came out to say, hey, telling the motherfucker to stay in the locker room is just as disrespectful as kneeling on the field. And, you know, so NFL not going to win with that. But I don't blame the goddamn Eagles. Like, the Eagles, the handful of players, Eagles players that wanted to go to the White House, y'all some hoes.
y'all some hoes. But Donald Trump, man, you ain't shit. And nobody give a fuck about what you think, except for them NFL owners who are racist. And see, now it's funny because, like, of course, you know, the Eagles owner is a racist and he supports Donald Trump and white supremacy and all these things here. So he got to keep his mouth closed. And so you got to let the mayor of the city talk, because the owner of the Eagles ain't going to say shit, because, you know, him and Trump homeboys, they support white supremacy. He supported the anthem policy, right? So Donald Trump, man, we just really here to let you know that you was a bitch. Yeah, your mom's is a bitch. Your father is a bitch. Your family, your whole family is some bitches. And all that shit. Man, I saw a clip the other day where Donald Trump told his daughter that if she wasn't his daughter, he'd date her. Donald Trump is a nasty motherfucker. The president of the United States is a sexual predator who would be down with incest. Donald Trump then thought about fucking his daughter. That's some nasty shit. This man actually thought about fucking his own daughter. Donald Trump, you was a nasty bitch. He's a nasty motherfucker. And now, the thing is, the NFL, though, finds themselves in a bind, in a conundrum, because they were going out of their way to please Trump and the other racist crackers that support white supremacy like them. And it backfired on you because they're like, hey, man, well, you just created an opportunity for them to be even more disrespectful. Fuck them niggas. That's what the NFL and Trump are saying. Fuck them niggas. You just allowed for them niggas to be more disrespectful. So the NFL, Roger Goodell, and all the people, they fucked up and all that, that what they did, because it really didn't work the way they wanted it to work. And so the NFL, so now you have NFL players who are saying that they are threatening, and there are reports out that NFL players are saying that they are threatening to sit out the season and not play until they sign Kaepernick and Eric Reid and players like that. Those are reports. It wasn't a lot of – that's something I was going to kind of cover, but it wasn't a lot of information. And, you know, I don't like to try to go into stuff without a lot of information, but I will say that the reports are out there where some players – the reports are saying that some players are saying that they're going to sit out the season until Cap is re-signed. So we're going to see. We're going to see how that goes. We're going to see. But Donald Trump is mad at the Eagles because the Eagles don't want to come to the White House. So I disinvite the Philadelphia Eagles from coming to the White House. And also, Donald Trump is a bitch. And then he's trying to get into it with LeBron James and Steph Curry and the Warriors and the Cavs, and basically saying, I don't want either of those teams to come to the White House. I don't want either of those teams coming to the White House. They don't want to be here. I don't want him. I don't want you here with me. He said, I wasn't even talking to LeBron James or Steph Curry. I wasn't even talking to you guys and all those things that you do, even though you're a fine young black man and I'm a bitch. And so because the Warriors and the Cavs jumped in that conversation with Curry and LeBron, talking about basically saying, fuck Donald Trump, don't nobody want to come see you at the White House anyway. So basically the sports teams that do go visit the White House, we got the side eye, especially all the black folk who be up there happy and excited and showing all their teeth, you getting the side eye. Anybody who goes to visit Donald Trump in the sports realm, you get the side eye. Because you might be on some bitch-ass shit, just like Deontay Wilder. Side eye. Oh, yeah. And one more thing about dumbass Donald Trump. Like I told y'all when we was talking about, when I had Mike and Cam on, we was talking about the pardoning of Jack Johnson, which was an insignificant event in the scheme of things. I could see the Johnson family, but it really ain't that significant. Because we're talking about a man who's dead, who's been dead over 100 years, and you pardon him, and that's not really going to help. But also, dumbass Donald Trump talking about he going to pardon Muhammad Ali for him being wrongfully incarcerated for refusing to join the Vietnam War. And Ali was already damn pardoned. Ali had already been pardoned. Everything with Ali had already been straight. Donald Trump, see, that's how Donald Trump don't be knowing what the fuck going on, so the Ali family had to release a statement like, hey, dog, we straight over here. We don't need you to do shit for us. We straight. Fuck you, dog. We don't need you. Of course, you know, they ain't said it like that. I said it like that for them, but that's basically what was said and what happened. So Donald Trump just been fucking up across the board, all across the board. But
But he's smart enough to be able to use black athletes and other people who are crazy enough to deal with him. So, you know, that's the thing. Like, yes, Kim Kardashian helped get, you know, the lady clemency, but Trump also used that to get some of his homeboys out who need to stay in. So that you know, fuck you, Donald Trump. I mean, I don't get you. I don't understand you. I don't want to. All I know is you're the same person that you've been since you was in the first grade. And that's some sad shit. White racists, white supremacists, white boys do not have to grow up, because this society does not force them to grow up. So Donald Trump used a whole hoe. And you can't help it. You figure you're a hoe and you can't help it. And you know, I just figure you're a hoe and you can't help it. So that's it on you. Fuck you, Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. That's that YG and Nipsey Hussle. Fuck Donald Trump. All right, so let me get the Bill Simmons bitch ass, and not the Bill Simmons that do the NBA and the podcast and ESPN stuff. This is another Bill Simmons, another reporter named Bill Simmons who need his motherfucking ass whooped for disrespecting motherfucking Serena. This motherfucker said he been waiting 14 years. This bitch ass says he's been waiting 14 years to ask Serena Williams is she intimidated by Maria Sharapova's beauty. Ain't this a bitch? I'm going to read the headline. White reporter has the audacity to ask Serena if she was intimidated by Maria Sharapova's looks. And Serena been dominating Maria Sharapova's ass. Everybody I know want to fuck Serena. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. Okay, I probably shouldn't have said it like that. Okay. I don't know nobody who don't think Serena Williams look good. Every dude I know, every man I know is head over heels for Serena Williams. But this dude here, Maria, fuck Maria Sharapova. Maria Sharapova want to be Serena. And ain't Maria Sharapova the motherfucking white girl who did the racist shit when she tried to dress up like Serena with the exaggerated butt and breasts and came out there with that? Man, fuck Maria Sharapova, man. Serena been whooping her ass anyway. Why the fuck was... How you going to be intimidated by a motherfucking ass you been kicking? Huh, Bill Simmons? How the fuck you going to be intimidated by somebody who ass you beat? During a press event at the French Open, Serena Williams was forced to deal with sexist, racist, and offensive questions about her appearance. Journalist Bill Simmons of Tennis Inside, fuck you, Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons of Inside Tennis touted as the most compelling tennis magazine in America, delivered two major faux pas during his interview with Williams. First, he referred to the most decorated athlete of our time as Baby. Then he went on to serious question if she was intimidated by the looks of Maria Sharapova, citing Donald Trump. To make the situation more cringy, Simmons admitted that he waited 14 years to ask the question. Bill Simmons. Fuck you, Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons, you's a bitch. Bill, oh man, I slapped the shit out your ass, Bill Simmons. So this is the exchange. This is the question and answer exchange. Simmons is saying, I know you want to get back to Olympia to work with me here, please. Serena Williams worked with me, and she just kind of smiled like, fuck. We're in this together, baby. Serena Williams said, no, we're not. You're not going home to a screaming baby. Then this cracker leading into that. I have been waiting about 14 years to ask you this question. After 2004 Wimbledon match with Maria, I had the opportunity to interview Donald Trump on this L.A. golf course, and he said that with Maria's shoulders were incredibly alluring, and then he came up with this incredible analysis, that you were intimidated by her supermodel good looks. My question is, have you ever been intimidated by anyone on this tennis court, and what are your thoughts about that occurrence? Serena Williams her response is, I honestly don't have any thoughts about that. I can't say I've been intimidated by anyone. That's all. That's it. Jeff Donaldson, somebody who's Jeff Donaldson, his tweet was, I have never physically cringed as hard as when I read this in Serena's transcript. Wow. And back to the article. The article is now, I've been waiting about 14 years to ask you this question after the 2004 Wimbledon match with Maria. I had the opportunity to interview Donald Trump in his L.A. golf course, and he said Maria's shoulders were incredibly alluring. They came up with his incredible analysis that you were intimidated, yada, 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 yada. I honestly don't. Right. That's Serena's response. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck. Bill Simons. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck. Like what the fuck? You need your bitch. Your mama need her ass for you asking that question, Bill Simons. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what the fuck was going through your fucking head when you said that, when you thought about that, Bill Simons. Oh man, it's like use a whole bitch. Use a whole bitch. I don't like you. You really think Serena Williams is intimidated by Maria Sharapova because Donald Trump said that he thinks she is? Bill Simons, you're not as smart as you motherfucking think you are. You a dumbass, Bill Simons. Fuck Maria Sharapova. Ain't nobody. I'm gonna look at Serena Williams and then look at Maria Sharapova and then be like, oh no, I'm gonna take Maria. Maria Sharapova looked like my little brother compared to Serena Williams. Now, I'm not going to really trash Maria for this particular situation because Maria don't have nothing to do with this particular situation. But trust me, ain't nobody trying to holler at Maria Sharapova. Ain't nobody even thinking about Maria Sharapova like that, except y'all white dudes. Donald Trump. Don't he like anything? Look, man, fuck Donald Trump, man. Talk about, well, that's what Donald Trump said, that you was intimidated. Were you ever intimidated? Hey, your wife said you wasn't shit in bed, Bill Simons. Your wife said you wasn't shit in bed. Or whoever you have sex with, whatever you have sex with, said you wasn't good in bed. So now what? Should I wait 14 years to run up to you and ask you, hey, so how you feel about who or whatever you have sex with said you wasn't good in bed? Should I do that, Bill Simons? Or should I just run up and just drop kick you in your motherfucking mouth for some dumbass shit? Like, you two, he an old-ass cracker, too. Bill Simons is an old-ass cracker. Simon, Simmons, whatever. I'm purposely fucking your name up, you stupid-ass cracker. Your mother must have been drinking Old English mixed with goddamn Mad Dog 2020 mixed with Cisco and smoking Newports when she was giving birth to you. Your mother must have been tooting an eight ball when she was giving birth for you. For you to ask some dumbass, stupid ass question like that based off of what the fuck Donald Trump said, really, boy? Bill Simons, Simmons, whatever the fuck your name is, based off of some shit that Donald Trump told you 14 years ago. So you's a bitch because you waited for, you sat on that for 14 years. Come on, man, you haven't matured. You haven't become more of a man in 14 years. Obviously not, because what I said, white supremacist males don't have to grow up. They don't have to grow up. Their only job is to learn how to maintain the system of white supremacy and racism, which does not cause them to mature. Bill Simmons, Simon Simmons, the tennis reporter, fuck you. I hope your career ends behind some dumbass shit like that. Like, come on, bruh. You really,
hey, baby, we're in this, baby. And then I've been waiting 14 years because Donald Trump said that he liked Maria Sharapova's shoulders and he think that you was intimidated by her. How the fuck she going to be intimidated by somebody she been dominating, Bill? She been dominating Maria ass. Maria can't fuck with Serena, man. Maria knows she can't fuck with Serena. Everybody know Maria can't fuck with Serena. Man, if I was Serena Williams' husband, and you know she married a white boy, but if I was Serena Williams' husband, oh, Bill, you're going to see me. You would see me. Fuck that. You would have to see me, Bill. I'm going to beat your motherfucking ass for trying my wife like that. You would fucking see me, Bill. I wouldn't even say nothing to nobody. I'd be so cool about the situation, and I'd just run up on Bill ass. You don't do that. You don't, come on, you don't talk to nobody like that. Come on, man. Fuck you, Bill. What is that, man? That's how white people see our people. That's how white people see black people. That's how they see our women. Our women need better protection, black men. We got to do a better job of protecting our women. We got to do a better job of protecting our women, even though it's Serena's white husband's job to protect her. I'm just saying overall, this just makes me think about black women overall. We got to do a better job of protecting our black women from bitch-ass people like Bill Simmons, whatever the fuck this cracker name is. Whatever the fuck, and he come up with some shit that Donald Trump told him from the village idiot. Bill Simmons, you's a bitch. Your partner said you ain't good in bed. You're a half-ass journalist. And I hope your career ends. Fuck you. Hey, man, that's my weekly rant. That's my weekly rant. Or that's my rant for this show. That's my rant. I can't call it my weekly rant because I'm going to do my show twice a week. Because you know what, man? I got more rants. I got rants. So, yeah, it's the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Ward. Fuck Bill Simmons. Fuck Donald Trump. And if you're a winner, keep winning. If you're a loser, I don't know what to tell you. Two fingers in the air, like you just don't care. Tell them I holler. Hey, remember, check us out at the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. And we got some stuff in store for y'all, so stay tuned. But remember, I will be back with the Fix Sports Podcast on Friday. Ahala! I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Nairclaw. There's no one that can